Blog Talk Radio.
Approximately 2 years ago, I read a book about how an 11-year-old went to heaven and came back to tell what he had seen. And embedded in that book was an amazing reference to an artist, Akiyana. I immediately turned my attention to Akiyana's painting, portraitures of what people would describe as God or Christ or solicitation on behalf of all mankind or the sanctuaries that are sacred or the beauty. I was riveted, and I couldn't stop absorbing and taking in the artwork. And much to my surprise, the artwork that I was appreciating for its incredible talent, as well as the portrayal and expression, as if every single portion of the painting expressed something so meaningfully, did not even realize what I was looking at was done by a child of the age of 8. When I became more immersed in Akiyana's artwork, I realized that I simply had to ask if I could interview her, to get to know her, to understand more about what messages she has for all of us and what messages she experiences herself. I had the opportunity to fulfill that dream of mine, to meet, to talk with Akiyana, and it happened spontaneously 2 days ago, and I have her interview here edited and ready for you to absorb and to take in. I encourage you, please, while you're listening to this interview, go to akiyana.com, that's akiyane.com, and enjoy her artwork while you listen to the beauty of her message and her voice. This is Dr. Carol Francis welcoming you and welcoming Akiyana. Take care.
I have been following your artwork ever since I discovered you, and I can't put your artwork down. It just is so riveting and so filled with life and vigor, mystery, and a spiritual finger. It points to the spiritual aspects of my soul and of my artistry. And so I very much appreciate what you bring to the world of art, but I appreciate what you bring to the world of humanity. And I don't know how you feel about your art currently. I just know what it stirs inside of me. So I'm really appreciative of having this opportunity to find out your perspective on your own artistic process, knowing that where you've come from when you were age 4 doing your work and where you are now may be very, very different or very similar. So, Akiyana, where would you like to steer this discussion about who you are in terms of your artwork?
Oh, first of all, I wanted to say thank you for such kind compliments, and they're extremely beautiful, so I wanted to thank you for that. I through the years of my artwork and my family life, and it's been extremely unique, because I have not only grown as a person, I've been growing in my spiritual life as well. Since the day that my eyes laid on the unknowns, my curiosity just grew from there, and I felt I was like a growing plant, always reaching for the mysterious light and always trying to grow further and further into a big tree. And that's what I feel now, that
wow,
my art seems to me like growing inside me, as if it's a part of me. And each time like I set a finger on my paintings, I feel like every stroke and every color, I feel their emotions. I feel like they are a part of a human being almost. It may have expressions and actions, and I feel that every painting that I do represents an emotion, an actual event that happened at some point in time in the universe. And I'm so ecstatic that I was able to actually portray that in physical form. And today I'm actually astonished how far I've come and accomplished. And
wow.
I'm never stopping. I feel so great using this ability to encourage children and adults to not live in fear all the time and stress. You live in love and be connected more. And I think that will always remain as my goal, is to unite people.
Wow, that is extraordinarily powerful, everything you just said. You know, Akiyama, I did wonder when you started at such a young age if you would somehow burn out or you would somehow come to, you know, the teenage and post-teenage more cynical position of our society and world. And it doesn't sound like you've gone to that cynical place.
This is a good question because I sometimes wonder the same thing. I feel like, wait, am I missing anything? Did I leave out somewhere? But I'm looking at all the teenagers and even children or adults. I sometimes don't fit in any of those boxes. I feel sometimes I'm a little bit outside of the normal category. But actually, I feel normal. I feel great. There are just some things that it doesn't connect with me like other teenagers connect with some things. I just kind of go where my mind and my heart wants to go and not what society wants me to go. And I kind of base my life on that. And that's kind of where I am at right now. And I love talking to children and teenagers and even elderly people. I feel them no matter what age group it is. I feel like I am part of them. And I could understand where they're going through. It's kind of a mixture of emotions running through my body while I talk to a human being, almost.
Do you ever try to make sense of what's happened to you? Because I'm quite clear, and I get the impression you're quite clear that you are living a really unique perspective experience as a human being. And as a human being on the planet in 2012, this is a very unique person you are, someone that inspires all of us. I'm not trying to hold you up on a pedestal because that's just really not fair to you or anyone else, but nonetheless, it's unique. So what have you ever tried to figure out why? Why me? Why me?
Oh, absolutely. I always felt that there was some questions that weren't answered, but at the same time, I look at the bigger picture. If I found out that the answer to that question, it would just narrow down my ability to learn. I think that in a way, I like the mystery of not knowing why, because it just makes it more adventuresome and unique. And I think that some other children and some other people are the exact same way in some occasions, that they just don't know why they are chosen or they have this amazing ability. And I think that that's the beauty of being a human, is not knowing some little details. And I'm actually quite glad that I don't know that answer. It makes me stronger.
So in one of the mysteries of one of your pieces of artwork that just really, I can't stop looking at it when I see it. There's a number of them like that. It's the white, I don't know the name of it. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, but it's the white, beautiful, I don't know what to call it. It was these amazing colors of flowers and floral, fauna. And that has mystery for me. Like, what's happening inside? Who's inside? Who dwells here? What is this, the place of? What sense of peace? Why are these colors so amazing? So what is that painting for you? What's that for you, Akiyama?
Are you talking about the children in the dressed in white? Is that the painting that you're talking about?
No, it's the one that is actually a building that's all white. And
oh,
and,
this
and,
The Supreme Sanctuary. That's
yes.
Yes.
What is that?
Actually, many people ask me this question, and it is one of the most difficult and challenging pieces I've ever done. Even though it looks simple in the composition and the colors, but to me, it was to portray that was extremely hard because that was one of the glimpses of paradise that I've experienced, and the colors, the water, the plants, it came to life. They had voices, they had faces, they had feelings, and they had planets in the bulbs of the flowers. I felt that to grasp all that information, the infinite information, and put it on the specific colors on a palette was challenging. But if you can really see, I hope that people can see what I saw as I was standing in the midst of that garden.
So if we try to grasp, you know, obviously you as the creator of that painting, the transmitter of the communication between what you saw and us as the audience of looking into that painting, you as the in-between, the mediator, would you convey that every single object that you paint wants to scream out a message or wants to share their story or wants to radiate their life? Or how would you put this?
Every painting that I do is a portrayal of a world that I have seen or visited, and it has a specific emotions and specific stories and experiences that are trying to project through the canvas. In a way, I feel like each time when I visit my gallery, I feel like the paintings actually move. They're like a moving picture that I go inside, and it's like a whole other atmosphere when I enter. I feel like that every painting has an emotion that they want to draw people's attention to. They want to comfort them. And those paintings that actually reacted to me as well. I felt like I was part of them and of those worlds as well.
Had you like visited them the way someone might, like in an out of body or near death experience or in visions or meditations or dreams or all of the above or none of the above?
It's extremely hard to put it in words what the actual actual image was, but I do recall it is some of them are like visions and dreams, and other times there are a clash against realities that you know, as you walk down like a garden or by the beach, and sometimes I feel like some realities collide, and it's neither a dream or a vision. It's just it's happening right in front of my eyes, and it's what is and not what is going to be. And I felt that it's kind of hard to put a word to that, but that's what most of the paintings, ideas and inspiration come from, is the collision of the realities and visions and dreams. And it could be paintings of people that I meet, things I see. Just everything is an inspiration to me.
Right, quite clearly. So this whole idea of collision is, I want to get my head around this as much as I can. It's you both looking at it and also feeling it inside you. It's you both taking in the ordinary perception of reality and yet somehow experiencing multi-dimensional activity going on simultaneously that kind of converge?
Yeah, it's the best way to describe it. It's like a parallel universes in a way, where there are one things that happen and you see on your other eye that another thing to happen at the same time, and I feel like I could balance that out in front of my vision. Sometimes it just pulls together like a magnet, and it could be one side of it from a different world and another side is it on Earth. It's kind of almost, I'm kind of like in a between, like a glue. I don't know how else I can really explain it.
Oh, it's beautiful, and I thank you for struggling with me. To take something that's not ordinary to just the ordinary observer, what's it like for you to talk, you know, to do the interviews, and again, I thank you so much for doing this, but to talk to people and try to say something that's not going to be, you know, incredibly uncomfortable for them to hear, but know that you're actually taking them outside their ordinary perspective and trying to either elevate them or expand them or shift them in order for them to understand what you are understanding. What's that like for you to try to help people to move beyond their limits?
I believe that through my curiosity and through my exploration and the diverse emotions, I feel that through that wondersome of a child, I experienced the unknown. And sometimes I feel that people, through many distractions and hesitations, they feel sometimes threatened or stressed out or very withdrawn to the idea of letting go and just be curious. I think people, humanity, has lost that, has lost the wondering and not, in a way, not withdrawing as much. I think people need to stand up more and be more open to more possibilities, to the unknowns. And I believe that many, many good things will happen if things will open up like that.
So then if we just grasp this moment right now, it's like if people walk outside their dogmatism, whether it's whatever personal decree or organized religious decree, if they can just suspend that for whatever period of time and then move and shift into their kind of an elevated sense of awe and wonderment and curiosity, then they're more open to the expansiveness of what's actually available for them to sense.
Yes, I was going to say I absolutely agree. That's exactly what I meant because what people do, I've noticed that they always have a closed perspective on life, and so many times they don't really live as it was supposed to and was meant to be. I believe that God wanted, or this universe has wanted us to be happy and experience and live, and people don't, in my opinion, don't really live in the open. They live in a box, and that's what's withdrawing a little bit of the humankind, in my opinion.
So are you the box opener?
I'm
all off.
Trying to be.
Okay, so let's go into some boxes. You know, I've looked at so many interviews that you've done with different individuals and watched you in your long portrayal of yourself doing your artwork. And I think I stood there for the whole amount of time in awe watching you paint on one of your longer things. So I've done a lot of just kind of wondering about who you are and what you've processed. And one of the things is that it seems like you've come through different definitions of God and spirituality and your own spiritual perceptions on things. And have you come out of boxes yourself in this journey as you've expanded kind of a cognitive, conscious attitude? Or what's that been like for you?
Through the years, I have been searching for a place where I feel comfortable in, And sometimes that led me through groups, through churches, through specific people. But at the end, I found out that my personal, my God is more of a personal and specific extraordinaire, in my opinion. I think that's more of a personal sanctuary inside. Nothing can be duplicated or can relate to it, because it's not like any other that's been created. Yes, the closest thing that I could, as a child, that I could relate, my God is through some different religion aspects of the Christianity and so. But at the end, I figured out nothing can have a word to what I really truly believe in. So I decided to just make it my own sanctuary inside my me, and keep it very close and dear, and like a gift being unopened, so treasured in a way.
Oh, that's beautiful. But then how do you respond when you feel like someone wants you to embrace their point of view or their dogma or their scriptural definition or you know, whatever they want to impose on you as being the correct point of view? How do you negotiate those moments?
I could relate actually to anybody in any background, in any position, any religion. And I feel that there's no wrong answer and there's no right answer. I think that if people have already feel comfortable in what they have chosen, it's not, how to explain it, it's the mere fact of searching the truth on your own. That is the true meaning of being comfortable. I feel like if people already have chosen their place, then it's the search that counts, that makes it exciting and that makes it beautiful. And if they have already chosen, then I feel like that I can relate as well, because I love everybody and every race, every position, and I think that we're all one. We're all connected somehow, and that's just the beauty of searching for the answer and searching for the truth.
So it's like you said that curiosity is so alive and animated for you as a process, as a guidance, so to speak, so that curiosity keeps us open. And that when it's all defined, curiosity may be a little less, but you're okay with that person deciding to define things and to live with kind of a sense of certainty, even though it's not your own
yes.
kind of style.
Yes, it's actually no, it's quite complicated. The world is all complicated.
Yeah,
but that's probably the closest that I could that what you said.
So in the process of, you know, you at the beginning of this interview, you said something about that you want people to not live in the fear and stress that they create or that they passage into. And you said that almost as if you had discovered a series of answers or experiences that would help people realize that attaching to stress and anxiety was really inessential and not all that helpful. So what's been your learning process what insights or what spiritual moments or transportations or elevated communions have you had that make you say, no, don't live in that stress, don't grasp onto that anxiety?
Through my years of my career, I have gone ups and downs in my spiritual growth, and who hasn't at some point
yeah.
in their life? But what really came down was the fact of the beautiful just the beautiful reality of what my little brother said. His name is Ilya, and what kept me grounded in my spiritual path is what he writes in his books. Sometimes I feel like that if I'm missing a piece of a puzzle, I always search through his aphorisms, and it just makes me just feel more comfortable in where I am, where I'm going.
Wow.
It could be, I think every person needs to have that, some sort of bit of guidance. It could be a family member, it could be a guru, or it could be a friend, but someone who you can lean a shoulder on and just trust them. And I feel by doing that, you will grow more and more and believe more and more in the spiritual unknown realm. And that's how I became more comfortable in my spiritual paths and more confident, is by just reviewing some of the little beautiful gifts that my little brother sometimes writes in his books. And I feel that brings me down to the center of connection, I guess.
Wow, I've not read any of your brother's books. Are they published or available or no?
Oh, yes. They're published, and he's working on his second and third book, but it's on his website as well, ilyapoetry.com. And from that point, I feel that he has some sort of message that he wants to send to the world, and I feel so connected with him, and we're so very close, and I feel so alive when I'm around him.
Wow. How much younger is he than you?
He is about seven years younger than me, so about 11 years old.
So can you spell out his website so that people would be able to read his posts, his poetry?
It's ilyapoetry.com. It's ilyapoetry.com.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. So now people can look that up, including me. Can you give an example of some of what he wrote and the way it might have addressed a dilemma or a discomfort inside of you, something that you are willing to share so that people can learn, but I don't want you to feel awkward in disclosing things that are your private world.
Oh, gosh, there's... what Ilya does is he's absolutely so extraordinary, because he's unlike any other child that you've ever would meet, because he's so intellectual and so just out of his box. To me, I feel like he's like a 60-year-old stuck in an 11-year-old body, because he sees life so different, and he sees life with meanings and stories. And when I try to find a meaning to a story, I always just ponder on his aphorisms. Sometimes I don't remember one at the particular point, but he is just, so many people praise him for his little, just his humorism, his light what he brings. And I totally think that he's a blessing to me, that I'm so happy that he's my brother.
That is beautiful. I'm having this vision of your brother, very young, sitting in front of one of your amazing paintings, and just as if he's being teleported or transmitted right into the painting and experiencing it, and then being able to bring the words back.
Oh,
poetry. Has that ever happened?
Oh, yes. Actually, there are quite a few times that happens, because sometimes where he actually loves to paint abstract as well. He loves to just write paints and the words on the canvases. He likes to just maneuver the universes together. It's just absolutely extraordinary. But he was so inspirational to me that I took him and his this whole idea of his philosophy, and I actually painted in some of the paintings. And so if anyone will find him, he has that little presence in some of the paintings. It's a little mystery and a little puzzle.
Oh, really? Well, can you tell us? Can you guide our eyes as we look at your artwork? In what way? Where? How? Can you reveal the mystery?
There are some paintings that has his features in it, and there's some paintings that has some poetry in it that I put inside the paintings, such as it's called the Creation, where it's very, very just mysterious space-like atmosphere, and there are like light glowing from the center, and all around the universe there are his sentences and sometimes his philosophies and hidden words that he spoke of inside the actual universe that I written like a secret message, and just those little things that I do on my paintings. I feel that he's definitely an inspiration to me.
Do you have any sense of why you have been, chosen to portray the mysteries and the secrets and the profound revelations in the form of painting? And your brother, of course, is in poetry. But why do painting? I know we could reduce it down to it being your skill and your talent, but, I mean, way beyond that, any ideas about why that is your vehicle of communicating?
When I was younger, at 3 or 4 years old, I always experimented. I experimented with food, with just clay, and sometimes, a little bit of the math and science. And I've experimented with as much as I can that my hands could get on. But when I just picked up the charcoals and those oil pastels, and when the first time where I doodled on the walls and the tables and the floors, I felt that the colors to me meant more than the numbers itself or the actual like dirt of the grounds or the waters. The colors represented the unknown universes that could be created in a single brushstroke. And I think, to me, that was almost like a magic. And I feel that each time I put this little dust and little oil pastels on it, and acrylics and oils, I feel like I was creating almost like a magic sanctuary where I could just go inside in the painting and run away and just run to the fields and into the story. I felt that was like a gateway to another world, and that's kind of where that's my curiosity started expanding right when I hit the paper and the colors.
So it's almost, is it a little bit like you put the paint there, you put the acrylic, the dust, but you actually are like surrounded by the resonance, the energy, the communication, the communion with whatever that single stroke provokes or evokes inside of you?
Yes. Some people actually always wondered when they come into my studio and they videotape for a media show. I always would pick up a stroke, and I felt that there's always a meaning for every dot that I put on the paintings. There's always a reason why. Even though that I have to gesso it 3-4 times just to get the final result, I always think there's always a message and a meaning that's somewhere along the line, scientists or someone will find out what it is. Even I don't know. I believe that it takes the brushstrokes are just patterns and puzzles of the universes, and I'm so glad I could hold it in my hand and create it.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. That must be such an amazing experience for you.
I actually, I'm on vacation in Hawaii, and we traveled all over the world, and it's very hard for me to bring my canvases and my paints, and I haven't painted for 4 months, and I feel actually very, very, you know, empty and tired inside. And it's so unique because I feel so alive when I just step into my studios. I feel almost dead if I can't have those resources. I feel like almost like a useless person. But each time when I step in the studio, I feel so rejuvenated and so alive. And it's like paints are running through my veins. It's something that I can't really explain as much. It's just you have to experience what happens.
Oh, I'm so appreciating the way you're articulating this this transcendent experience. I mean, people have to walk, and their curiosity as to what this is like, and the, I don't know, but I think that what one thing you're saying is that we're all capable on some level or another, whether it's through art or some other medium of curiosity, we're all capable of kind of having this elevated, transcendent moment, experience, or way of engaging in life, so that we are just like in the middle of the liveliness of whatever stroke we're creating. That's the hope that what you're saying, I hope that humanity knows that.
Oh, absolutely. That's so beautiful. That's exactly what I feel. And sometimes I just feel that people are in the wrong places where they should be, and more of in their natural place. Sometimes people work in some situations where there's almost their whole energy is sucking them, and I feel that they have to, I wish that people could go back to their natural abilities and just work on their natural abilities. They will be more happier, and they'll be more alive, and the finance and the whole world will come naturally into the lives. And I feel that when people start concentrating on what they really love, everything will naturally come into place, like the puzzles coming together.
So the living within a personalized experience of passion is like being in sync with who their essence is, and that's where they will fuel. That's where they will fuel and feel and create. And would this be a better place if we all did that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a beautiful perspective. When you talk about every stroke and every piece of dust, it reminds me that, you know, in every single atom, there is so much life in every single molecule. There's the DNA, the code, the description. It's a complex little microcosmic world that every single cellular aspect of anything, whether it's a single cell or a multi-celled creature, is alive with all the information that's embedded in it.
Yes, yes. That is so true and so beautiful, the way you say it. It's so unique and complicated at the same time, and it's hard to get our minds wrapped around that.
Okay. Wow. So I'm glad I'm trying to understand, and you've been making it so much easier to do that. And how would you feel about walking into a discussion about near-death experiences or heaven or life after death? I have no idea where you are on any of that. But when earlier we were talking about stress and anxiety, I know people are so afraid to die and so afraid to pass on, and they miss the people that die. It's a big either fear or draw or denial in people's existence. I have no idea if you have any take on that or any experiences that provide insight. What do you think?
That is one of the most complicated and the most hard questions any human being can answer. I have my takes. I have my point of views. I feel yes. When I was younger, I was brought to these beautiful places, which I decided to call them heaven and paradise, and the most beautiful place on earth, and the universes, and I felt that there is a heaven. There is heaven, but heaven could also be on earth as well if we create it to be. I think that heaven is all around us, in reality and not reality. There are so millions upon millions of parallel universes where millions of us are in sync with other selves across the universe. I think if one is gone, the other one is still there somewhere. Heaven is to me a figure of word that we are never gone. We are always and always will be connected somehow in somewhere in the way of a part in the corner of the universe. We're never gone, no matter what. And in my opinion, I think we will return to our natural beings. We will become someone else. Our other selves will grow, and I think the universe is so complicated, so diverse, that I don't even understand, and I think no one will fully understand, but there is a heaven everywhere. It's the way we create it, the way we perceive it, and the way we believe in it that makes it even more realer.
Create, perceive, and believe. What a fascinating pairing that is. Create, perceive, and believe. So that we're simultaneously discovering what is, and then we're also creating what is, and we're also, when you say believe, it's like we're if we know it's there and we search for it, we'll find it. Because you can't search for something you don't believe in. That's a very interesting pairing of three that you've put together.
Actually, there's someone who when I was speaking with, they told me this really unique sentence. They said that you cannot discover new oceans and lands unless you have the courage and the bravery to lose sight of the shore.
Wow.
And that it stuck with me for years and years, and I felt that you have to take the first step as a whole, as a humanity, to go on to the greater future.
Well, are there any experiences that you feel free to share that solidify your perspective? I mean, I so appreciate you saying this is my perspective, not trying to step on any toes, not trying to develop a dogmatism or a following or a doctrinaire on this. I mean, that's the way I translate you saying I'm not trying to say anything but my own experience. But what are your experiences that have formed these impressions inside of you?
These experiences, even I cannot put a word on them. I feel that these are glimpses of truth, cracks in time that everybody at some point experienced. I feel that these visions and the dreams when I was younger opened my mind and directed me into a different path in my life, into a better person. I feel people realize these little glimpses, these little cracks, these little details that they remember in their visions or dreams. I think they're telling us as a humanity something. I think they're telling us information. And as a child, when I was so eager to learn, so eager to know things, I grabbed that information and decided to build on it. And that's where the art and the poetry decided to come naturally. And that's where I decided to express those informations that I received through the arts. And that's who I am today. And is the, I'm a, in a way, a journalist, artistic journalist who learns and who sees and who experiences things and paints them so others could learn or share or just appreciate.
Wow, that is beautiful. Arkiana, we're going to go away. We don't have to pay attention to any of the 60 seconds or 90 second thing. So, thank goodness, if you have some more time, I'd love to ask more questions, but it's up to you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm here. I'm here for a few more minutes, so just shoot away at the questions.
So when you say, let's go on the dark side of this for just a second. When you hope that a person will shift into a different awareness, a different consciousness, a different appreciation of all these dimensions that your paintings give voice to and message to as a journalist of the arts, and you see someone come to your artwork and going, oh, well, that's nice, and then they walk away, I know how I would feel if they did that to your artwork, but how do you feel when they do that? I mean, I can't imagine anybody not loving your work, but what does it feel like when they don't get the deeper myriads of messages from it?
I was lots of times traumatized by many people just sharing their honest opinions. And as an 11 and a 13 and, you know, a 7-year-old girl, I feel it was just, it's hard for me. It was extremely challenging to hear someone share their honest opinions. But you know, nowadays I feel that I kind of ignore them and it's kind of concentrate on the better good of side of things. But I actually realized that maybe it wasn't my art that didn't help them. I think it's somebody else that needed to be a enlightenment to them. I feel that it's okay that it didn't have an effect on those people. I feel that somebody else could have the chance as well. It's not the end of the world. I feel that everybody will be able to help each other at some time, at some point. And if it's not that point, that time, it's a matter of time that it will change. I've grown through a lot of people saying, you know, oh, I don't like your paintings, burn your paintings, that's devil's work, and they the list goes on and on and on. But to hear those opinions, I feel they might have left out on the reality. I feel they don't understand, and it's okay not to understand. I feel maybe they're just confused, and maybe they just didn't find the right answer yet, and they're searching for the answer, and there comes the harsh words, and I just kind of ignore them, and it'll just take time. Time will tell, and time will heal.
Oh, you're patient. Patient, gracious of you.
I've learned a lot, but I'm still learning, but it all comes down with patience, I suppose.
I would wonder to what degree you ever have portrayed in any of your artwork the darkness of humanity that's embedded in jealousy and insecurity and greed and like a murderous competition, a condescending, cruel judgmentalness. And then been able to take that yuck energy and then show how it's transformed through
shedding those snake skins and opening your eyes to the multifaceted way the universe wants to talk to us. Is there any artwork that's actually done that in your mind?
It always starts out with maybe an idea of that, but somehow it ends up a beautiful idea for some reason. I feel like it always starts out like a little bit of a really, you know, stressed ball and that negative idea, but somehow along the line, time over time, I start painting some positive information and it kind of makes sense. But there's actually a painting, it's called First Steps of Eternity. It's where there's a earthly self and a heavenly self. And when I was searching for a model, this is when I was about 5 years ago, when I was searching for a model, I came across this young lady, which she had beautiful features, beautiful body, and she was the right person that I wanted to pick. As I didn't know nothing about her. I'd only known her name. And after she modeled for me, I just decided to put her in this pose where she's covering her head, and her heavenly self is pouring this liquid hope on her head, as if it's like a parallel universe. And as I was painting the earthly self, you could see the trauma, the very just this loss of hope in her expression, in her figure, that she was crying. In the painting, you would see that. And as I asked the lady, the model, to ask her opinion, she started crying. Because I've known her to be such a happy person, but she'd never cried. And she said that she went in the most traumatizing time in her life, where she had an extremely, extremely traumatizing divorce, and she went through a lot of pain and suffering. And as she saw herself in the painting, she felt that I somehow predicted her future. And actually, 3 months later, she found the most amazing person in her life, and she's still with him today. And she says heaven is on earth. And as in the painting, she has a heavenly self pouring this hope on her very tearful self. And those little nuances, those little glimpses of that suffering are in my paintings. But at the same time, I know there's a contrast. I know there's an opposite. That maybe I can put those two opposites together and make them work. Because without hate, there's no love. Without darkness, there's no light. I think they both work each other, and they have to balance each other out. And that's some of the in my paintings as well.
Wow, that is a beautiful description. So we can live in the transcendent where everything is like harmonious and heavenly, but there's also these dimensions, I'm wondering, where the yin and the yang, the dark and the black, the dark, the black, and the light and the lightness of living coexist. As a dance, they have to dance together. They have to contrast each other.
Yes, absolutely. You said it so beautifully.
Oh, you're inspiring. You're very, very inspiring. In any last message you would love people to hear, that so when they walk to your paintings with their soul, with their heart, with their eyes, with your life experiences, with their points of views, philosophies, and spiritual perspectives, what would you like to message to them right now in this moment as they walk towards your painting?
That is a great, great question. That is so hard to answer in one sentence or two. I just feel that each time when they look at the paintings, I want them to walk away with with a hopeful response to it. But at the same time, I want them to to use it into practical terms, to actually take it away and use it, especially in the family and in your everyday life, your family and your work. Sometimes I just absolutely enjoy hearing those comments where they hang the paintings in their living room and they feel that they're more connected with their families because they have many more things in common and they talk more and they are around each other more. I feel that the most important thing I want everybody to consider is more bonding with the family, because from that point, from that first step, everything will blossom from there. Your spirituality, your love, your career, the world's future actually revolves around the family's first step and how it could be a mutual respect. It could be a communications. It could be just all out there love. But the family, if it's damaged, if it's cracked, the first step is to heal them and bandage them, and then life will be so much easier and so much successful and not just reality. It's more spirituality as well. And hopefully my paintings could unite people like that by loving each other and first the family and then the friends and then the world.
Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful gift to give all of us. Wow, that our lives would walk into a world where we could feel each other and be in the presence with each other with bonding, warmth, the reality of what's really important, that we could feel and hear that and experience that as we resonate with your paintings. What a wonderful gift to give all of us, Akiana. And I thank you so much. You've given me the gift of this interview. I'm so blessed. But you've also given the world the gift of your paintings. Oh, wow. That's so awesome. I thank you.
Oh, thank you, Carol. That was so sweet. Thank you. I think we all have a little part in this world, and you have that laughter and that love that you share with all your listeners. And I think that you're special, extremely special, Carol.
Thank you. Okay. You're awesome. You know, I guess you need to get on with your beautiful beach Hawaii day. And this has been such a gift. I hope we get a chance to do this yet again. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Carol. And have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And listeners, this is Dr. Carol Francis coming live to you. Thank you for joining us. Please do not hesitate to go to Akiana's site at akiana.com, akiane.com. This is Dr. Carol Francis at drcarolfrancis.com, drcarolfrancis.com. Or you can contact us for more information at 310-543-1824. Be well. Stay true to yourself and stay true to your artful expression.